You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke with Katie Armstrong from Reunite Families NZ about the peaceful protests they're currently holding outside Parliament today. Reunite Families is advocating for the reunification of immediate family members separated by COVID-19 border restrictions, especially migrant families. I'm wondering if you could give us a general vibe of how the protest is going.
Well, so this protest is basically for, you know, it's trans-global because this is, we've got the people onshore who are impacted, you know, who split from their families, and then people who are offshore are obviously all out there in the ether, and they're going to be zooming in at 12:30 to join us. Yeah, as many as we can fit.
And why do you think the government has made allowances for entertainers and sportsmen, but not for its own citizens or loved ones of citizens?
Well, they talk about economic benefits, but, I mean, you know, the managed isolation system should be used to balance humanitarian as well as economic benefits. But besides which, the people that are standing here today are people who are providing an economic benefit long-term. These are the people who've come to settle. They're working as our doctors or our nurses, our frontline workers, our teachers, tech staff, construction workers, engineers, a whole range of them are all working hard to contribute to New Zealand, and they can't get their families in. So, I mean, to be frank, it doesn't make sense.
It must feel like a real kick in the guts knowing there's been exemptions for celebrities while there's people who are separated from their partners and their children for over a year now. For you, what does this say about the government's values and care for its public?
Well, I think those of us that have been watching on as Kiwis just can't understand because it seems so out of kilter, so out of alignment with the government's professed values, caring about family, caring about migrants. And this just tells these people that they care about neither.
Is there an estimated figure of how many people are separated from their family members right now?
Well, I mean, the only people that have the true figures are the government. We represent, we think there's probably about 2,000 out there. But obviously, the most important thing is that they're not, you know, it's not, whatever the number is, it's a finite number. Because obviously these are people who got split as at that 19th of March. For example, we do know that there are 1,092 partners and dependent children who had already been granted their visas prior to the 19th of March, who haven't been able to join. There'll be then another cohort that had visas still in process, you know, as of 19th of March. And they're all in similar straits. But, you know, there's a concrete figure, 1,092 people who had the legal right, or had the legal right to enter, but on the 19th of March, suddenly the wall came up.
Do you currently have any government officials supporting you right now?
We have, well, today we have the commitment of the three opposition parties, Greens, National, ACT, who are going to be speaking on behalf today. They stand in support. We had a meeting in November chaired, hosted by Jamie Strange MP from Labour, where families and their employers travelled from all over New Zealand to meet, hoping at that point that there could be some resolution. But it just keeps getting pushed under the rug each and every time. And it's not just a kick in the guts when you see things like the Wiggles or the Lion King coming in, where we're told there's an economic benefit. But, I mean, how do you really follow the money on that, you know, with offshore entertainers? But the other kick in the teeth is just the mere fact that there's empty rooms in managed isolation all the time, and the number of empty rooms is just reaching a very high level right now. I mean, a couple of nights back, there were 815 empty rooms, and when you think about every room could be a family that can, you know, a father that could see his baby, or a mother that can see their child, a sibling that can see their sibling again, because these are all immediate family. It's not like Kiwis who are separated from more extended family. These are all immediate family members. So those rooms that we see empty, it's like watching the life raft just float on by empty.
Yeah, and of course not everyone overseas can afford to be back here at the price of however much some of the flights are going at. Do you think the government should be funding for these families to come back?
Well, these families don't want to put barriers in the way of being able to come back. But, you know, you're right, the cost, it's not just flights. They have to pay much higher rates to bring their families into managed isolation than any Kiwi family. So, you know, a family of four could end up spending around $11,000. A Kiwi family would spend half that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real problem for these families because they've been having to maintain two households for the last year. Aside from all the sort of psychological and emotional horrors that they're going through, they've actually had to send money home to support their families. And we've got wives and children who've had to just sort of shack up in temporary accommodation, sitting out for however long. They don't even know how long. So they're constantly on, you know, on tenterhooks waiting for some news. They keep hoping that the government will just say, yes, you can start coming back in. Start. Because we've never said they should all come at once. They should be sequenced. It's what our Prime Minister suggested last April, and then it all got buried away. But if you sequence them in, if we had been sequencing them in, we wouldn't have this problem. And in fact, they would have paid managed isolation at a lower rate because the rates were put up on them. I mean, there's been blockade at every single pass. And when you think about who these people are and the fact that they are here, you know, they've got their homes here. They've made the commitment. These are not transient migrants that are just going to come and disappear off. They've come to make their home here. They've come with a view to migrating permanently. They've brought their skills here. And so, yeah, I mean, they're willing to pay because they have to pay. They're liable to pay, and they don't want, you know, so we haven't made a demand that the government pays for them, no.
Ideally, what would be the perfect outcome from the protests?
The perfect outcome today would be that the government actually makes a decision and says, we do value you, we do want you to be here, and we're going to start sequencing you in. And by sequencing, we would want to see all the families being given a clear timetable so that they can plan their lives, knowing that they can all be reunited within the next 4 to 6 months. We don't think that's unreasonable. We have the means to do it. We've had, you know, we had a flight, for example, from the African continent back in September that nobody seems to remember. It was historic. It came direct. First time in history, I think, of modern aviation. Not a single person brought COVID in off that flight that we're aware of. It could be done again.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.